Okay, today's daf is Ksuvos daf Ayin Vav, the second to last daf of the seventh parak of Maseches Ksuvos. We left off right in the middle of dealing with the stira that we're going to have three answers to in total, but we were right in the middle of the second answer. There's a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, whether we follow the general opinion of Rabbi Gamliel or the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua when there's a dispute between the husband and the wife in terms of when something bad happened. In the beginning of the Masechta, it was about when she was net anas. Now it's about when she developed a mum. So do we assume that lo mipia anu chayin, that we do not believe her, or do we assume that we do believe her? Upon who does the burden of proof lie? So we had a stira in our Mishnah, whether the burden of proof regarding when the girl developed a mum is on the husband or whether it's on the father. So we're going to have three answers to that stira. One answer again was Rabbi Elazar's answer, where we just said it's not a stira at all, it's a machlokas, and the two lines of our Mishnah are authored by different people. One reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, and the other the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And then we have the second answer is Rava, the third answer is going to be Rav Ashi on Amud Aleph, and then the Gemara is going to get into the second topic on the daf is going to be a comment that Shmuel makes about Hamachlof Parah B'Chamor, that he's going to connect to the idea of where you have Hamachlof Parah B'Chamor, where you have someone who does a transaction where they switch a cow for a donkey, and somehow some halacha about Hamachlof Parah B'Chamor is going to bring a riot to it, V'tana Tuna, that we're going to bring a riot to that from Kala, from our Mishnah about a Kala. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out throughout the entire Ramad Beis what exactly Shmuel is bringing a riot to from the case of a Kala, what exactly our Mishnah is a riot to with the case of Hamachlof Parah B'Chamor. So going back to where we were holding, we finished the daf, but let's just get back into the conversation over here. So maybe it's even kedai to go all the way back to the beginning of the second answer to Rava. Rava Amar, we was rushing through it yesterday a little bit. Rava Amar, about 12 lines before the end of the page, again trying to deal with the stira in the Mishnah upon who is the burden of proof in terms of determining when she developed a mum. It's in the husband's interest to say that she had a mum prior to the kiddushin, and he was never told about it, and therefore it's all kiddushe taos, and therefore he doesn't have to pay ksuba. It's in the wife's interest to say that the mum developed later on. He knew exactly what he was getting into because she didn't have a mum at the time, and everything was fine. It was not a kiddushe taos. So when your wife develops a mum, when your wife gets sick, when something happens to your wife, she's still your wife, and therefore you have to pay her ksuba. So Rava Amar, Rava says, Reisha kan nimtzu v'kan hayu seifa nami. In the Reisha, where we discovered the mum while she was still Bebeis Avia, that's because we assume wherever we discovered the mum, that's where the mum was for a long time already. And we assume that the mum was there for a long time from even before the Erisin, and therefore the burden of proof lies on with the father. But in the Seifa, where the mum was not discovered until after the Nisuin, so we assume also kan nimtzu v'kan hayu, that this mum must have developed a little bit later on, and therefore the burden of proof, if the husband wants to claim that it was there from before, the burden of proof is on the husband. We said in the Mishnah that once they already had Nisuin, it's the husband's responsibility to bring a raya that the mum was there from before Erisin, and that the whole thing was a mekachtos. But it sounds like he has to bring proof that the mum was there before Erisin. If he would only bring proof that the mum was there after Erisin, but while she was still Bebeis Avia, that would not be good enough. But v'amai, lema kan nimtzu v'kan ayu. Once you're able to place her with a mum, oda bebeis avia, still in her father's house, shouldn't you then apply kan nimtzu v'kan ayu and say that that mum must have been there for a long time already, from even before the erisin? Meaning, if we're going to go with the svar of kan nimtzu v'kan ayu, the husband shouldn't need to prove that the mum was there from before erisin. He should just need to prove that the mum was there while she was in beis avia. And once you're able to place her with a mum, bebeis avia, kan nimtzu v'kan hayu will take you the rest of the way, and will tell you that the mum was there the entire time from even before the erisin. So amalei mishin esarsa mishum diikal lemeimer chazaka in adam shosu because elam kein bodko v'hai roi v'nifayesu. We have a chazaka that if he's even if he's able to prove that the mum was there after erusin, but we assume that if the mum existed after erusin before nisuin, there's no way he would have gotten married or would have gone through with the nisuin without doing proper research to know if she has any mum, and therefore we have a chazaka that he was aware of it and that he was willing to overlook the fact that she had a mum and to marry her anyway. So well, then what does it help if he proves that she had the mum before erusin? Shouldn't we have the same chazaka that he's going to do his research and that he probably knew about it and he was willing to be mochel and he wanted to marry her anyway? So what difference does it make whether he's able to prove the mum was there before erusin or the mum was there after erusin? Shouldn't matter. He knew about it. So says well, we have a chazaka that probably he knew about it and a chazaka that therefore he was mochel. We have another chazaka that people aren't mochel, that people don't overlook mumin. So it's competing chazakos over here. So says well, again, that doesn't matter. It shouldn't make a difference then whether he's able to prove the mum was there before erusin or after erusin. Hachanami chazaka ein adam mifayis b'mumin. Even if he's able to prove that the mum was there after erusin, there should be a chazaka that he wasn't okay with it, that he was not, a person is not mefayis b'mumin, he is never comfortable with the fact that she has a mum, and therefore we should vait to say, kan nimtzu v'kan hayu, and that the husband was deceived, and that he shouldn't have to pay ksuba. Ella mishnas arsa mishum diika tarti. So the Gemara says, now it's all a numbers game over here. We have to count up the chazakos on either side when determining whether the husband is going to be responsible for ksuba, when determining whether there's a mekachtos over here. If he's able to prove that she had a mum after erusin, well, mishum diika tarti chazaka hemen aguf al cheskaso. She has a cheskas aguf that the mum developed as late as possible because she was born without this mum. Again, we're talking about the type of mum that develops later on in life, and the chazaka in odem shows to bekos odem came botko vayirav in nefayisu, and we have a second chazaka that there's no way he would have married her without having done his proper research, and therefore he must have known about this mum, and he must have been comfortable with it, and he must have been willing to overlook the fact that she had a mum. So both of those chazakos would tell us that the husband is fully responsible for the ksuba. So what are you going to say on the other side, my amrit? What do you want? What are you going to counter those two chazakos with? Chazaka in odem nefayis b'mumin, that we have a chazaka that a person is never fully comfortable with a mum, that he can never, there's no way he's going to overlook a mum. Well, havichad b'makom tarti, that's one chazaka against two chazakos. V'chad b'makom tarti lo aminan. If you have two chazakos against one chazaka, the two beat the one, and therefore, since we have two chazakos that are going to tell us, we only have one chazaka that says ein adam fayis b'mum, that he would not have been comfortable, and therefore that the whole thing is mekachtos. But two chazakos that suggests that he would have been comfortable, or that she has a cheskas aguf and developed later on, so he can't claim makartos, and he's going to be responsible for the ksuba. Ad shelo tesaris, but if he's able to prove that the mum developed, that the mum was already there before erusin, so then hemel haguf al cheskaso lo ikal lemeimar, we lose one of the chazakos, the chazaka that it probably happened at the latest possible time and therefore probably happened after erusin is gone, because we have now proven with Edim that it happened before erusin. So you lose the chazaka on the other side, and therefore ma'ika chazaka dein adam shosu bekos elam kin botko. We have one chazaka that says that there's no way he would have married her without doing research. He must have been aware of the mum, and he must have been okay with it. He must have been willing to overlook it, and therefore he does owe her full ksuba. And only one chazaka on the other side. Adrab chazaka in adam mefayis b'mumin. We have another chazaka on the other side that a person is not mefayis b'mumin. So when you have two competing chazakos and an argument over money, what do you do? Then it's like having no chazakos, and you have and someone's trying to get money from someone else. So we apply the rule of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. You want the husband to pay, you're going to have to prove it, and the chazakos are not going to work over here because they offset each other. So the husband is the one that's muchzuk in the mamon; he gets to keep the money that he's muchzuk in the entire time. So that is all the second approach. That is Rava's approach to reconciling why it is in one case case of our Mishnah, if we know about the fact that she, if we discover the mum while she's bebeis avia, it's her father's responsibility to bring a raya, and if we discover the mum while she's already bebeis baila, it becomes the husband's responsibility to bring a raya. Now we have the third answer. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Reisha mana le'aba biyadcha, seifa mana li biyadcha. That the big difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is who is the baldin of the husband? Who's the one that's claiming the money from the husband? If the mum were discovered while she was still be'erisin, so then it's a case where it's mana la'aba biyadcha, where the father is the one that's the baldin with the husband. The Seifa is mana li biyadcha. The Seifa is where the woman is the one that has the claim against the husband. And if you look at Rashi, Ravashi Amar, Mahadur Nami, Lu'ukma Kula Kram Gamliel, what we're trying to do, Ravashi is trying to do, is say that the entire Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, that typically speaking we would believe the woman, the Chazaka Dugufa Adifa, that her Cheskas Haguf is generally a very powerful Chazaka. And if she had a Chazaka that she didn't have a mum, just like a Chazaka that a girl is born a Basula that Rabbi Gamliel used in the first parak, so we have a Chazaka she didn't have a mum, that's a powerful Chazaka and she should normally win. The reason the Chazaka Degufa doesn't work when the mum is discovered while she's still bebeis avia, lefi she'ena taina shelah, because it's not her taina on the money, ela shelavia, it's her father's taina on the money. Sheksubas erisin la'av, because the ksuba from erisin goes to the father. Vavle mana la'aba biyadcha, and here's the key, v'gabei av lo amin beguf shelah titeani cheskasa. Her cheskas haguf doesn't work for the father's claim. Her cheskas haguf will only work for her own claim. It's not going to work for her father's claim. If you look at Tosos says in Reisha Manalaba Biyadcha Lechora Hayinir L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Lefarish the time Mishum Debari Shala Loma Hanila Av Davi Kamanalaba Biyadcha. Tosos says, well, wait a second, is it about the Chazaka not working? He says probably it's about the fact that typically speaking, when it's a girl saying something about her own body and the husband saying something else about when something happened to her body, she knows when something happened to her body. She always has a tainas bari. The husband can only guess when she became an anusa, when she developed a mum. He has no idea exactly when it happened, so his tainas is always the tainas shema. But when it's not the girl making the claim, it's her father making the claim, he too only has a tainas shema. He also doesn't have a tainas bari, because what does he know about when his daughter developed a mum? He wouldn't know about that. So therefore, that's why the father is not going to win over here, because even though generally the cheskas haguf is very strong, that's when it's backed with the tainas bari. Over here, it's not backed with the tainas bari. Tosos points out a few lines later, that we only say cheskas haguf is going to help if it's accompanied by a tainas bari. But you don't have a tainas bari over here. The father can't have a tainas bari. And therefore, the cheskas haguf is not going to win over here. So, Eisei Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avi l'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avi asks on Rav Ashi's answer. So again, Rav Ashi's whole answer was that is, if it's the girl claiming the money, then ena chinami, then she's the one that wins. Then we do believe her because we pass like Rav Gamliel. Moder Rav Meir b'mumin harui in lovely man b'beis avia sha'al ha'av la'havi raya. That Rav Meir is moda that when it comes to a mum, Rameir was the Tana of our Mishnah. He's the one that taught both halachas of our Mishnah, both the Reisha and the Seifa. So that same Rameir would agree that if it's a mum that's roi lava yima mi beis avia, that was the type of mum that could have come from beis avia, that it becomes the father's responsibility to bring the raya, even though right now she's already birushos ha'av. So va'amai, but why should that be the case? Mana li biyadchahu. If it was only discovered while she was already bebeis baila, it's her claim. So what do we care what kind of mum it is, that it's roi lavo imam bebeis avia? It's her claim. Once we discover the mum bebeis baila, she's the one that's entitled to the ksuba. So according to Rav Ashi, that the whole distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa is who's the baldin of the husband, who's the one making the claim against the husband. Well, I don't care what kind of mum it is. If you discover a bebeis baila, it's her claim against the husband, and maybe we should say she should win. win. So why do we put the burden of proof on the father? So Gemara says, no, hachmei eskinan b'yaseiras. The kind of woman we're talking about over there, she has six fingers. That didn't happen after she got married. That's something that she was born with. It was a birth defect. That's why it's ala av lahavi raya, that it was not a mekach ta'us. So says Gemara, that yaseiras, my raya maisi. What kind of raya could he possibly bring that she didn't have that mum? But normally we're assuming the father's going to bring a raya that the mum developed after erisin. That's what we assume the father's raya is. There's no way she grew a sixth finger after erisin. So what does it mean the father's going to bring a raya? No, a different raya. Raya dera of inifayasu. All the father has to bring a raya is that it wasn't mekachtos. So the father's raya will be that the husband knew about it, that she that he counted her fingers, all the fingers and toes, and he saw that she had an extra finger, and he was okay with it. That's what he'd have to bring a raya. How do you prove that rav inifayas? You can bring rayas that the Edom saw that he had a conversation with her about it or something. So he knew about it and he was comfortable with it. So at the end of the day, in terms of figuring out what our Mishnah is talking about, we have three approaches. We have Rabbi Elazar who says that our Mishnah is subject to machlokes, that our Mishnah itself reflects both the opinions of Rabbi Yeshua that we don't believe her and the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that we do believe her. We have Rava who says that wherever the mum is discovered is the key. That's where we assume it was. That's where we assume it's been, and therefore, if the mum was discovered bebeis avia, we assume the mum was there the entire time, and he plays the chazaka game, working with the various chazakos off of each other. And then you have Rav Ashi, who says that it all depends on who the Baal Din is. That where the mum is discovered is a reflection of who's the one that's claiming the ksuba. That if the father is the Baal Din, then the father has to bring the raya, but if the woman is the Baal Din, the husband's going to have to bring a raya. How do we paskin in these three terutzim? So the Rush points out that Rava and Rav Ashi aren't really, meaning answers number two and answer number three, the two answers that we did today, are not arguing in halacha. So you don't need to be machriya whether we paskin like Rava or Rav Ashi. So if you find a mum in a nara when she's bereshus ha'av, it's ala av la'avi raya, even though he's toin bari, because the mum is nimtza bereshuso. So, but when you find the mum bereshus ha'bal, it's ala bal la'avi raya, because it's nimtza ha'mum bereshuso, and the cheskes ha'guf is Sayeah, the woman. Similarly, the Ran says that Rav and Rav Ashi don't argue. All they argue about is how to teach the Mishnah, but they don't argue in halacha. And therefore, as long as the father or the daughter has a tainas bari, it's al habal lahavi raya, he says. Because cheskes haguf is misayeah, ches haguf helps when there's a tainas bari, like Tosus pointed out in Dibur Maskel Resha that we said before, that the cheskes haguf is going to be meaningful as long as there's a tainas bari. So if the father has a tainas bari, then the cheskes haguf will work as well. But when anyone is towing Shema, then you follow after the, then we go with the Rishus that the mum is found in. If it's found by Rishus Ha'av, it's ala av la viraya. If it's found by Rishus Ha'bal, it's ala bal la haviraya. So that's the Rush and the Ran. They assume that there's no machlokas la halacha between Rav and Rav Ashi. The whole machlokas is how to touch up the Mishnah. That is not necessarily agreed upon, however, by all Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchus Ishus, Perach Avdal, Halacha Dal, just records the Mishnah Kipshuta, and he doesn't give any of these chilukim about Kanimtsu Kanhayu, about who the Baldin is, whether there's a Bari, a Shema, nothing. He just records the Mishnah as is. So the Magen Mishnah explains that what the Rambam is actually doing is he's paskening like Rava, that Kanimtsu Kanhayu is machriya against the Cheskas Haguf. That even if she has a Cheskas Haguf, but we assume Kanimtsu Kanhayu, and therefore, if the mum is found with Beis Ha'av, it's al ha'av l'havi raya, even when there's a tainas bari, meaning that against Ravashi's answer. Ravashi would assume that if the father has a tainas bari, then the burden of proof falls on the husband. But the Rambam assumes that no, Rava would not agree with that. Rava says it's ala av l'havi raya, because it's all about kan nimtzu kan hayu, and tainas bari doesn't make a difference. The Miri also says that that everyone passing is like Rava over here, that all the poskim, the Miri says passing like Rava, because the sugyas ha-gemara that we're going to see later on is going to be like Rava, meaning the next piece of Gemara is going to relate back a little bit to this machlokas, and we're going to have to figure out which of the three answers the next piece of Gemara is really trying to, is really works with and really assumes to be correct. So that's going to inform us in terms of how to paskin. So Let's see weiter in the Gemara now. So the rest of the daf is going to be, it's one comment that Shmuel makes, and we just try to figure out what he's talking about. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says as follows, Hamachlif para b'chamar, if a person exchanges his cow for his friend's donkey, Umashach bala chamar es hapara, the owner of the donkey has already taken possession of the cow, and the donkey is not here, the donkey is somewhere else, and as soon as the owner of the donkey takes possession of the cow, then we assume that the donkey now belongs to the original cow owner. Before the balapara had a chance to go find the donkey and take possession of it, the chamar died. By the time the owner of the cow went to find the donkey and take possession of it, the donkey was already dead. The question is, when did the donkey die? Did it die before the other fellow took possession of the cow? In which case, the whole transaction is invalid, and therefore he gets his cow back? Or do we assume that it happened after the person had already taken possession of the cow, so the donkey had already belonged to this fellow, and therefore he loses? The cow is in the possession of its new owner, and the original balapara is out a donkey. The donkey dies, it's nothing, it's his own donkey that had died. So how do we figure out when it happened? So al bala chamor lahavi raya sheyachamoro kayim b'shas mashichas para. Bala chamor means the original donkey owner, the last known owner of this donkey. The original donkey owner has to bring a raya that his chamor was alive at the time that he was moshech the para, and then he'll be able to keep the cow. But short of that, if he's unable to bring a raya that his chamor was alive at the time that he was moshech the para, he's going to have to return the cow. And then Shmuel comments, "Vitana tuna kala," and the greatest raya to this is the Mishnah about the kala. So the Gemara says, "Hey kala, what are you talking about? What Mishnah about the kala? What are we gonna? How are we gonna prove this correct from our Mishnah?" So that's going to be the discussion of Amud Beis. Which issue about a kala helps to prove this discussion about the para and the chamar? The Rishonim raised the question: what in the svara of Rabbi of Rabbi Dorma Shmuel, that it's the Bala Chamar's burden of proof that his Chamar was alive at the time of the King Chalipin. The Cheskas Haguf and the Cheskas Mamon seems to help him. No, he already has the cow in his possession, so the Cheskas Mamon is with him. So Yamotzi Mechver Lavrai, the other guy wants to get the cow back, but he already has the cow in his possession. Cheskas Haguf of the donkey is that it was alive. It was born alive and it was living for a while. So the Cheskas Haguf, it should be that it died at the last possible moment. That's why that's the Chazaka de Meikara, that since it was born alive, and last we knew about it that it was alive, so we have a right to assume that it was alive up until the very last moment. So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim as to why it is that those Chazakos don't help over here. So Tos says originally that Shmuel holds that by Safek, where Mamon the Mamon b'cheskos b'ilav harishonim, that the Cheskos Mamon is the last known rightful owner of the money. Cheskos Mamon is not just who happens to be holding the cow right now, it's the last known rightful owner of the cow. And the last known rightful owner of the cow that we knew Bivadai owned the cow was the Balapara, was not the Balachamar. So you have to get that, the cow has to go back to the original owner. Even though Shmuel holds Cheskos Mamon is Adif al Cheskos Abayel Marishonim, but over here we assume the Riva explains that since the Bala Chamar doesn't know himself whether the Chamar was Kayim, he's Tofes the Para B'Safek, so his Chazaka, his Cheskos Mamon on the Para is a very weak Cheskos Mamon because he's only taking it, he's only holding on to it, Misafek. Tos then says that Shmuel holds that by a suffix we go basa the chazaka to hashta, that since right now the chamar is meis lefaneinu, we could say that that's a competing chazaka, that if right now we know that it's dead, so maybe we could work backwards and say so it must be dead for the longest time, that the chazaka reflects that it was dead until all the way back to the last moment that we know that it was definitely alive, and that it must have died the second after the last moment we last saw living. Where do we find such a thing? We find such a thing in the beginning of Maseches Nida. It's a tricky thing, because by definition, anytime something changed and we don't know when it changed, there's a competing chazaka. There's a chazaka to Meikara that says it was the way it started, and there's a chazaka to Hashta that says probably it is the way it is now is the way it always was. So that, and obviously it changed at some point. So these are competing chazakas. The Gemara Nida discusses, you find the Mishnah is talking about, you find the mikveh that you know when you originally built the mikveh had mem sa, at 40 sa of water. Now you measure it 10 years later, and the mikveh has 39 sa of water. So it had 41, now it has 39. When did it change? People have been using this mikveh, they were converted gerim in this mikveh, they tumbled all sorts of things. So that when do you assume that the mikveh, well, it had a chazak to meikara, that it was a kashra mikveh, but as a chazak to hashta, that it's not a kashra mikveh. So in Nida, the Gemara says, kala tumos are kashas mitziyasan, that when you find the tumah lefanenu, you're told that it was the tumah lemafreya until you know otherwise. So that's maybe a chazaka that works in the other direction. The context at the beginning of Nida is if a woman finds dam and she doesn't know when it got there. So in terms of tum and tahara, all the truma she may have touched in the interim. So what do we assume? Do we assume dayashaita, that the dam just came right now and that she was tahora up until this point, or do we assume that we go tumul mafreya, that we assume that she was tumea may es la es mifkidul Kida, the last time she checked, something like that. So these are a couple of the approaches in the Rishonim. Rishonim have many, many more approaches in terms of dealing with why it is that we seem to ignore, that Shmuel seems to be ignoring Chazakos over here. But our main order of business is figuring out, hey Kala, which case of a Kala is going to be the Raya to what Shmuel has to say. So Ilema Kala Bebesavia, if you want to say that the Raya from Kala is a case of Kala Bebesavia, which Rashi points out in the bottom of is the Reisha of the Mishnah, that they come when she's a Odar Rusa, that's when they found the Mum, where we said that it's the father's job to bring a Raya. So Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar's answer. That's what we're assuming now, that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar's original answer, that it's a machlokas tanaim, and that even if she's nichlas al-chuppah, the Tana of the Reisha would hold that it's the father's job to bring a raya, meaning the Tana of the Reisha is Rabbi Yoshua, that we don't believe her, and therefore the father has to bring a raya, even though the suffik was not nolad in his rishus. So we see that you don't collect money misafik. So here also, we're not machzik paras chavero misafik. We don't let him keep part of chaveru misafik, even though the suffik was nolad in rishus chaveru because he already did the mashicha. So if you can say that's the raya that we're assuming like Rabbi Yeshua, and it's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that that is the raya to Shmuel's shita, well, mi dami hasa maisi av raya umapik. There's a big difference in terms of what's happening once the raya is brought. Over there, the father's going to bring a raya in order to get money from the husband, to extract money from the husband. So, whereas, and therefore, since he's taking the ksum money from the husband, he's going to have to prove that he's correct. But over here, when by machlof parah b'chamar, Shmuel requires the Baal HaChamar to bring a raya. The Baal HaChamar is bringing a raya that the Chamar died after the Mashicha in order to keep the para that he has already acquired, that he's already taken into his rishus. So it could be that if he's already tafus papara, he's already holding on to the para, he doesn't have to prove that he's correct. So it's not necessarily a raya from our Mishnah that when you want to be motzi mamon that you need a raya. So Am Rabbi Abba Kala Bebeis Chamehas. Rabbi Abba says no. The raya of Shmuel from the din in our Mishnah is from the case of Kala Beis Chameha, where she's already nichnas into the rishus of the husband, and that's where we discovered the mum. That according to Rabbi Lazar's understanding, again, that first answer in dealing with the stira, that din was going according to Ram Gamliel, that the cheskas haguf beats the cheskas mamon. We assume that she was not a balas mum until the last moment, and even if she's bebeis avia, even if we discovered it bebeis avia, it would still be the husband's job to bring the raya, to prove that he's entitled to keep his money, that he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. So even if it was nolad v'beis av, the husband would have to bring the raya in order to keep his money, because the shtar ksuba is there, and the woman has the shtar ksuba, so it's as if there's a vaday chiyuv, and a suffik ptur in that chiyuv. The ksuba is the vaday chiyuv, she definitely has a ksuba, and there's a suffik whether he has some sort of excuse not to pay it. a suffix whether this is a patur. So we take the suffix of the ksuba on the cheskas on the chazak of the person who we know to be the owner. So by machlof parba chamar as well, where the bala chamar comes to be machzik mamun acherim, he wants to keep this cow that belongs to someone else. So for sure he should have to bring the raya in order to be able to keep this cow, even though the suffix was not nolad berushuso, because we could be mamid the para becheskas the known bailin. So says Gemara Vakati lo dami, you still can't compare them exactly. Hasam bal maisi raya umarle lechazake da'av. Over there, the father is the husband brings a raya and ruins that raya that he has to bring is ruins the cheskas haguf that helps out the father to say that the mum was nolad after erusin and that the baal is chayiv in the ksuba. So he's ruining that chazaka. So he needs a raya in order to keep his money. But hacha over here balachamor maisi raya umukim chazake biyadei. But over here by the suffix of the when the chamor died, the cheskas Saguf is not machriya to say that the chamar died before the mashichas hapara. That's going to help the balapara keep the para birushuso, keep the para in his property. No, it's the opposite. The cheskas haguf that the chamar was alive, is machriya to say that the chamar was alive at the shas mashichas hapara, and therefore the bala chamar has to bring a raya that the chamar was alive at the time in order to keep the chazaka biyadei, in order to keep the cow that he's already acquired in his hands. So that doesn't seem to be an exact parallel either. So Amar Rav Nachman Reb Yitzchak, kala bebeis avia ula kiddushin. Now the real raya is from kala bebeis avia, meaning what we mean to say is that according to Rav Lazar, the din of kala bebeis avia is only according to Rabbi Yeshua, right? That it reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that the cheskas mamon beats the cheskas haguf. So it's the father therefore has to bring the raya, even if we found the mum only after she's ready b'rishos baila, even though there's a cheskas haguf that helps the tainas ha'av. But ula kiddushin, we're not talking about the ksuba over here. The key word is ula kiddushin. The raya is from the fact that the father has to bring a raya l'dvarv even to be ma'akev the money of the kiddushin. Now forget about the ksuba money. When the guy is mekadesh woman, he gives her kesef kiddushin, he gives her a ring. So in order to be able to keep that kesef kiddushin, he has to bring a raya. What was the whole problem we said with saying that the parallel is kalav b'beis avia? We said because the father is trying to bring a raya to take ksuba money from the husband, whereas by the Baal HaChamor, he's trying to bring a raya to keep what he's muchzak in. But if you talk about the kesef kiddushin, the father's raya is also to keep the money, because it's kesef kiddushin that has already been given to him for his daughter, for the marriage. So the raya is not to take money away, it's to keep the money that he's already been given, and therefore the parallel works very nice. And don't say that this only works according to the opinion that kiddushin lav l'tibu nitnu, which means that when a person gives kesef kiddushin, it's lav l'tibu. It's not almanas that should stay with the woman or the father, in no matter what happens. Meaning that even if the husband dies and he never ends up marrying her, that you don't have to return the money. Since according to that, even by kiddushin vade, the money of kiddushin is only considered a pikadon. It's only partially in your rishus. If it's lav l'tibu nitnu, that's a way of saying that it's viewed as a pikadon, that when a guy gives kesef kiddushin to a woman, he's not really giving it to her. He's giving it to her to hold on to for a little bit until we clarify whether there's a kiddushin. If there is a kiddushin, then she keeps it. Nisuin, rather. If there is a nisuin, then she keeps it. If anything happens before the nisuin, she doesn't keep it. No, but even if you assume that she takes full possession of the money and can do whatever she wants with it, that's only by kiddushin vaday. Av l'kiddushin tos, you might see raya in, ilo lo. But if it's a kiddushin tos, then a raya has to be brought. So Meisve asked the Gemara Machat Shem Tzibov Vibes Hakosos. Let's say you find a needle in the stomach of an animal. Mitzad Echad Kshera. If it's only on one side of the stomach, then it's kosher. Mishneit Stadin. If it's on both sides, it cuts through and through the wall, then it's trefa. Nimtza LaKoradam. If you find a little bit of blood on the needle, Biyadua Shulifnei Shchita. Then you know that needle was there from before Shchita. Lo Nimtza LaKoradam. Biyadua Shulachar Shchita. If you don't find a little blood on it, then you know that it only came after Shchita. Huglad piyamaka, if the wound has scabbed over, biyadua sheshloshe yomim kodem shchita, then you know this happened 3 days before shchita. So if it's a treifa and it was sold in the last 3 days, it's a mekach tovs. Lo huglad piyamaka hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. But if it hasn't scabbed over and we don't know when this treifa developed, so we don't know if it's a mekach tovs or not, then hamotzi mechaver lavaraya. V'yoyv tabach dami boilasu yiraya umapik. So if the butcher who bought this animal already paid for it, he's going to have to bring a raya that it was a treifa in order to get his money back. V'amai, bal behema laisi raya v'nokim. Why don't we say, let the bal behema bring a raya in order to keep the money? So says Gemara, no, b'delo yov tabcha dami. The whole halach was talking about where he didn't give the money yet, and that's why the tabach has to bring the raya. Well, my paska, how do you know that it's dafka talking about a case where he didn't give the money? Gemara backtracks on the whole thing. Everything Shmuel said about Tanatuna Kala, that the whole thing with Machlo Parba Chamar, and you can bring her, change it all. He's incorrect. Hachi Amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel really said. Kol shenolat safik perushu, so a love haraya. Wherever the safik was born, wherever we first discovered the safik, it's the person whose rishus the safik came up in, it's his job to bring a raya. And that, v'tana tunakala, that we have raya from our Mishnah. Not the way Rabbi Lazar understands the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is a machlokas from Shomer and Liel. No, the way Rava and Rav Ashi understand the Mishnah, that it all reflects the sheet of Rav Gamliel, and that tana tunakala, that our Mishnah just says, kanimtsu kanayu. Meisvei machat shenimtsis bovi besakosis. Then we ask the kasha about the treifa shayla, v'deloyo of tavich dami bal behema boila suyu rayu mapik. And if the butcher hasn't paid for the animal yet, then the bal behema has to bring a raya in order to get his money. V'amai sveikur brishus tavich is yalid. But why should he have to bring a raya to get his money? The suffik was only discovered when it was by the butcher already, when the animal was by the butcher. So Gemara says, diyav tabach dami. We're talking about a case where the butcher already paid for it. Umay paska, but again, how do you know that we're talking about a case where he already paid for it? So Gemara says, because come on, how does he have the animal if he didn't pay for it? Stamad de milsa, kamad lo yavinish zuze, lo yavinish chiyusa. It doesn't, that's the way it works. No one gives you an animal until you pay for it. So it's finished up over here, that only hidden mumin he can claim he didn't know about, but not revealed mumin. An epileptic is considered a hidden mum because it could be he just never saw her have a seizure. That's if her seizures come at predictable intervals. But if they're unpredictable seizures, then it's considered something that everyone knew about.